You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Well, good morning, Makers Church. I don't know if you can relate to that song. I sure can. For those of you who have... Did you guys have another song? Did I come up too soon? Okay, just making sure. That's my nightmare. It's too late now. It's been done. So my name is Shalise, and I've been at Makers since the beginning of Makers. I actually started as a worship leader with this guy, Mark Wallace, right here. And I was that person that would have been like, no, we're not done. We have 14 more choruses. Like, get off the stage and come back. But I resonate so deeply with that song. I'm not yet like where I want to go, but I'm a long way from where I was. And if you knew me a long time ago, you'd be like, yes, you have changed a lot. But I still know that God is not done with me yet and is not done with our church yet. So if you're new here to Makers, welcome. Good morning. This morning's going to look a little different, a little unusual from the typical Sunday. If you can't tell, I am sick. I am staying far away. I've been sick for a long time. I was thinking that maybe I shouldn't speak today, but then Derek was out of town and Mark was doing stuff. And I was like, should we just do an hour and a half of worship? Like, that sounds good, you know? But I wanted to save Liam's voice. So I am going to speak just for a little bit. I've been sick for like 3 weeks. I have like pregnancy sickness. I don't know. It's the worst. To clarify, the pregnancy is not the sickness, even though this is a parasite growing inside of my body. But I just want to clarify. People are like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I did this on purpose. If you've ever been pregnant or had a man cold, you'll understand that there's no cure. Like, nothing makes it better. When you're pregnant, you can't take the good drugs. They're like, here, suck on this mint leaf, and like, we hope you feel better. And I'm like, I don't. I feel worse. Not only that, but like, I've been coughing so much that I have now like cramps in my stomach constantly. Like, I've been working out. Like, I'm getting abs while pregnant, which is kind of cool, but I know they're going to go away as soon as she's here. So but I was at a conference all week for work in Phoenix, and I was like, oh, you know, I started like getting this cough on Tuesday, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll feel better by Sunday, and I can speak, and I have this whole talk prepared, and then I came home on Friday, and I was like, maybe not so much, because if, I don't know if anybody else is like this, I hope so, because I feel awful, but every time I cough too much, I start throwing up. Does anybody else have that? Like, you cough so violently. Okay, thank you. I'm not alone. You literally force yourself to throw up. So I have, like, I'm at this conference with a roommate. I'm pregnant. I'm coughing. I start throwing up. I'm in the bath. I'm just like, I am so sorry. This poor girl's never going to travel with me ever again. But I was nervous that if I kept talking too long here, that that might happen. And while that would really make for a memorable Sunday, especially if you're a guest, I would prefer not to do that. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to just intro this talk a little bit. And then thankfully, we have been 3 weeks into a series now with Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. And he does these videos every week that some of our community groups are using that are resources for us. And we're going to watch just a little portion of this week's video. And then we're going to have some discussion time and break out, which I'm really excited about because I was a high school English teacher for over a decade. And I've been threatening you guys with, like, we're going to have, like, a classroom. We're going to talk and we're, like, get to know our neighbors. We're going to do it today because I have an excuse. I can't talk, so you have to talk for me. But it'll be great. So we are in week three of this series that is focused on the practice of fasting. And this week, we're going to be talking about how fasting amplifies our prayers. To amplify is just to make louder, larger, more pronounced. So how does fasting amplify our prayers? How many of you would say, I could use some answered prayers right now? You're like, just whatever, big or small, but you're like, man, I could use some answered prayers right now. I've been praying to not be sick, so God clearly isn't hearing my prayers right now, but it's because I'm not fasting. If I was fasting, my prayers would be amplified. He would hear me. I'm kidding. I remember my first core memory of having a prayer answer. Does anybody else remember, like, your first time when you were like, what? Like, this works? I was 5 years old, and I was in Indiana with my parents for a summer camp. And I remember this memory vividly. I was wearing a Mickey Mouse sweatshirt. It was like 102 degrees. Thinking back now about to be a parent, I'm imagining my mom being like, you're not wearing a sweatshirt. It's 100 degrees. And I'm like, I'm wearing the sweatshirt. And she finally probably gave up and was like, do whatever you want. Because I was a stubborn, stubborn child. But I'm walking down this like dirt path in Indiana, and I see a Pepsi machine. And I was like, I need a Diet Pepsi. I was 5 years old, addicted to Diet Pepsi. It's my dad's fault. He used to get big gulps. They were like 69 cents for a little one, 89 cents for this like super big gulp. So we would drink big gulps all the time. And oh, there's like the thought of having this cold Diet Pepsi was just too much, more than I could bear. Now looking back, I realized my parents probably didn't want to give me the Pepsi because I was being a brat, not because they were trying to teach me some spiritual lesson, but my dad looked at me and he was like, well, if you want a Pepsi, then you should just pray and ask God to give you a Pepsi. And I was like, bet, let's go. I was five, you know, so I was like, oh, that's how that works? Okay, great. So in my five-year-old defiance, I stood there and I prayed. I said, Jesus, give me this Diet Pepsi. And I walked over. And when I tell you I hit that machine with so much conviction, I probably just rattled it out. It probably wasn't God, but I hit that machine so hard and out rolled a Diet Pepsi. And I was like, God is real and he listens to me. Suck it, Dad. I don't need your money. I don't need your quarter. I get my own Diet Pepsis. But I had this moment where I felt like at 5 years old, like God is listening to my prayers. My silly little prayers for this Diet Pepsi, like God heard my prayers. And I think if we're all honest, we all want to know that God hears us, right? We want to feel like we have that direct line to God where we can say, God, I need this. And he would be like, I got you, don't worry. Or God, I'm feeling this way. And then suddenly we would feel a sense of his presence or his peace. In Psalm 34, 17 to 20, I think echoes a lot of our hearts. But it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and he delivers them out of all their troubles. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, which is just such a weird phrase. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. But I love this. Like when we cry for help, it says that the Lord hears us, that he delivers us, that he is close to the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I think that's what we all long to know is like, does God hear me? Is he close to me? Will he save me? Will he answer my prayer? And so fasting is one of these avenues by which we can practice both speaking to God and hearing from God. So before we get into the video, we're gonna have a quick conversation. Now, like I mentioned earlier, I was a high school teacher for over a decade. Now I lead teachers, and teachers are the worst students. So I am anticipating that like 10% of you will follow the directions I give you, 20% of you will do whatever you want, and then 70% of you will be looking at your neighbor like, what was she saying? I forgot. So if you forget what we're doing, just turn and look like you know what you're doing. By the second round, you'll get it. You'll get it, right? It takes many, many opportunities. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna have you break into small groups near you, okay? So if you don't like the people you're sitting by, this is the time to awkwardly stand up and move somewhere else. But you're gonna break into small groups near you. If you're not sitting by anybody, be bold, go find somebody, okay? You're only gonna get out of this what you put into it. So if you just wanna sit there quietly and pretend like you don't hear me, that's fine. You're probably not gonna get anything out of it. That's fine too. This is for you, it's not for me. So I want you to break up into a small group of people near you. And I'm gonna ask three questions. I'm gonna put three questions on the board. You're gonna have 5 minutes. Now you do the math. You don't get 10 minutes to speak. You know who you are, that person in the class. They're like, but I have so much to say. Maybe not today. Maybe let somebody else go first, right? So I'm going to put three questions on the board. Mrs. Young, do you have to answer all the questions? No, you do not. Does it matter what order you go in? No, it does not. Does everybody have to speak? Ideally, yes, but no. Let the spirit move, okay? We're just going to practice letting the spirit move. I'm going to put these questions on the board. I'm going to say them and read them. And then I'm going to have you break out into your groups right here. So the first question, what has been your experience, if any, with fasting? Have you ever done it? Never tried it? Done it for a meal? Done it for a week? Don't need the dissertation. Don't need to know the whole spiel. But just what has been your experience with fasting? Just kind of getting a pulse and gauge in the room. Does this discipline feel relevant for you and your life? I'm going to say currently. Why or why not? This is not a trick question. The spiritual answer is not like, well, obviously. Maybe it doesn't feel relevant. Maybe you're like, I don't even see how this would apply, or this doesn't feel healthy for me. No right or wrong answer. But does it feel relevant for you? Maybe why or why not? Maybe you don't know the why. This is a good time to just sit in that. And then if you were to fast, what would you hope God would do during that time? If you were to fast, what would you hope God would do during that time? What has been your experience, if any, with fasting? Does this discipline feel relevant for you and your life? And if you were to fast, what would you hope God would do during that time? I would love to hear your responses. If we were in the classroom, we'd spend all day, but I know after teaching high school English, some of y'all can't be trusted with your answers. So I'm gonna talk about myself. Fill in the blanks, no. My experience with fasting has been vast and varied over my life. I went to a Christian internship called Teen Mania right out of college, and every single week, we would do like a fast of some sort, and then every month we would do these three-day silent fasts. So not only was I not eating, but I wasn't talking. It is a miracle I didn't get kicked out of that place. Actually, I did get kicked out of that place, but not for that, for other things. Listening to secular music, Coldplay, it's the whole thing. You ever just look back and you're like, that explains a lot about my life. Okay. But we would do these three-day silent fasts, and the fast would end at midnight. And so all I remember of these fasts was that my roommates and I would go to the cafeteria and hoard like Nutter Butters and Oreos and cup of noodles. And then at midnight, we would break our fast, and we would all just like feast, and we'd stay up for hours talking about like what God had spoken to us. And it was usually about which of the boys we were going to marry. I was like, well, this time he said Aaron. And I was like, are you sure, God? So my experience with fasting was really intense and extreme for a long portion of my faith. Then I moved to Sacramento, and I was leading worship at the House of Prayer up in Sacramento. And we would do fasts a lot. This place was open 24/7. So you can tell, like, at 3 a.m. when you're in there and it's, like, packed and people are worshiping, like, there was a real intense atmosphere of just people pursuing God full force. And I remember they introduced the Daniel fast, which I think Derek talked about a few weeks ago. And it was basically, like, you just ate fruits and vegetables. And I was like, I could do that. So I did the Daniel fast, and then they were like, well, let's do like a 7-day fast. And I was like, that feels lengthy, but okay, let's try that. I'm poor, I could save some money off Taco Bell. So we did a 7-day fast, and that was really challenging. And then somewhere we got it in our heads that we should do a 40-day fast. But not knowing like the laws of physics and science and my body, I was like, that sounds like a great idea. But we quickly realized we could not fast from food for 40 days and be functioning members of society. I was working at Starbucks, had a very important job. So they said, well, what if we did like a juice fast? And then we were like, smoothies are practically juice, right? So basically I was just hopped up on like fruit sugars for a month for 40 days. But as I got older, like these really extreme ways of fasting like didn't resonate really with me anymore. And fasting as a spiritual discipline isn't something that I practiced very frequently. I too have been guilty of fasting for the physical benefits, right? Like Pastor Derek talked last week about intermittent fasting or just fasting because your pants are getting a little tight, but often ignoring the spiritual aspect. And if I'm really honest, fasting as a discipline period has been a real challenge for me. I grew up with a lot of disordered eating, a lot of yo-yo dieting. If it's a diet, I've done it. Just really unhealthy relationship with food. And then going through infertility, they were like, you cannot not eat. And I'm like, but how do I get skinny if I don't not eat? And it just revealed a lot of like unhealth in my own life around this concept of fasting from food or the purpose of nutrition. And now being pregnant, I can't fast anyways. It's her fault. I would totally do this with you guys, but baby has to eat, so I guess I have to eat. So I just want you to know, as we watch this video, if you're challenged by this topic, you are not alone. If this is a complicated topic for you because of the culture that you grew up in, you're not alone. If this is a new concept for you and something you've never even considered to be a part of your spiritual practices, you are not alone. So it is a complicated topic that John Mark Comer is going to break down for us. And then we're going to watch this and we're going to come back with one final little discussion at the end.
May 1940. The Nazis have just overrun France. 338,000 Allied troops in retreat are trapped on the beach at Dunkirk. There's no hope of rescue in time. The British Prime Minister Winston Churchill is gearing up for the annihilation of the British Army, the last defense between England and the Third Reich's blitzkrieg advance. But then, on Friday, May 24th, Hitler issues a baffling order to his generals to stop their assault. The German tank division stops just 10 miles away from Dunkirk. Then, the city is enveloped in a strange mist that's a mix of fog and smoke, and the German Air Force can't bomb the soldiers, who are like sitting ducks on the beach. Then, even stranger, the English Channel, notorious for high winds and choppy waters, is perfectly calm for 3 days straight. Historians say it was like bathwater, which makes it possible for hundreds of small civilian boats to cross the channel and rescue the troops under the cover of fog. This story was made famous yet again by the director Christopher Nolan's film, Dunkirk. But what's not in that film is that also on Friday, May 24th, King George, upon hearing the news of the impending invasion, called the nation to a day of fasting and prayer. Thousands of people literally lined up to get into Westminster Abbey in London to plead for God's mercy. Just hours after King George called for prayer, Hitler ordered his tank division to stop. And over the next 3 days, all of the troops were saved. That generation did not call it Dunkirk. They called it the Miracle of Dunkirk, the outcome of which arguably saved the whole of England. Now, was it a miracle or just a coincidence? God's response to prayer and fasting, or just poor strategic planning by the German army? Here's what I know for sure. All through the library of Scripture, prayer and fasting go together. You can pray without fasting, and you can fast without praying. But when you combine the two, it's like there's a chemical reaction that amplifies the power of prayer. Now we come to number three of the four reasons we fast. In week one, we covered to offer ourselves to Jesus. In week two, to grow in holiness. Next up for week three is to amplify our prayers. Prayer is an umbrella term used all through Scripture for the medium by which we communicate and commune with God. You can break down prayer into two basic categories, listening to God and speaking to God. Fasting is a powerful practice that amplifies both God's voice to us and our voice to God. Put another way, fasting is a way to hear God and to be heard by God. A word on each. First, to hear God. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, we read a fascinating story about the first disciples of Jesus. Verse 1. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Notice, it's as they are fasting that the voice of God comes with clear direction. This has been my experience along with countless other followers of Jesus. In times of fasting and waiting on God for direction, that's when I'm most likely to hear God's voice. Just a few days ago, a good friend of mine was telling me he did a 4-day fast to pray for God's direction for his business. As he was fasting, he had an idea come to him, and on the last day of the fast, he got a call out of the blue from an old colleague asking if he would be interested in the very same idea. He took that as God's direction, and it was while he was praying and fasting. Now, let's take a step back and talk for a minute about what's happening in our body as we fast. Remember, we're chipping away at the false dichotomy between the physical and the spiritual. We are whole persons. What we do with our body has an effect on our soul. In the last session, we covered some of the ways that fasting is good for your physical health, but it's also good for your mental health. Peer-reviewed studies on fasting have demonstrated that fasting increases the blood flow to your brain, causing you to be more alert and aware, compared to eating, which causes blood to flow to your digestive system, which is why we are tired and a bit cloudy of mind after a large meal. Think of the post-Christmas dinner fugue. It also increases neuroplasticity, the ability for your brain to make new neural connections. It's also proven to decrease the neurotransmitters that signal anxiety and depression and increase those that elevate calm and a sense of well-being. It's also been proven to increase what doctors call interoception, which is your ability to accurately notice what's happening inside your body and mind. It's even been shown in some studies to arrest or even reverse the effect of Alzheimer's. It comes as no surprise that fasting is not an exclusively Christian practice. While the first recorded story of fasting as a spiritual discipline is of Moses on Mount Sinai, it's later adopted by Confucius in China, the yogis in India, pretty much all of the Greek philosophers, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, were advocates of fasting. It plays a central role in Islam, not to mention the explosion of popularity of intermittent fasting among those in the health and wellness community, or it's practiced by writers and intellectuals for many years due to its effect on mental prowess. Because fasting is a way of honing your mind to a point of alertness, focus, and perception. Now, to repeat, this doesn't happen overnight. If you are new to fasting, and especially if your regular diet is high in sugar and refined grains, then at first you may get a headache or feel just lousy and out of it. But if you stay with your practice and make it a regular part of your rule of life, your body will adapt, and when you fast, you will start to feel both calm, but also highly alert and attuned. You can easily see how all this would put your mind and body into an ideal state to hear God's voice. Not to mention that when you fast, you have a lot more time. One of the first things you realize when you start fasting is just how much time, energy, and mental attention goes to food. Grocery shopping, cooking, eating, cleaning up. You get a lot of time and headspace back when you fast. As Priscilla Schreier said of her practice of fasting, "I'm able to gain perspective on how unbalanced is the amount of time, energy, and effort that I put into my body and into my spirit. When we choose to sacrifice a need of the body to place more importance on a need of the spirit, God himself sits up and takes notice. The heavens are open to us in a way that might not have otherwise been." She offers a key insight here. Not only does fasting put us in an ideal position to listen, but it also puts God in an ideal situation to speak. Not only is our mind attentive, but our heart is humble and hungry. I think of God's word to Israel through the prophet Joel. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Or that same phrase is used by the prophet Jeremiah. "You will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Jeremiah doesn't specifically mention fasting, but he uses that same phrase, "all your heart." Fasting is one way to seek God with all our heart. Again, it comes as no surprise that all through Scripture and church history, there are stories of people fasting to hear God's voice of direction, or for what the New Testament writers later call discernment. When we are facing a major decision, and especially in situations where we just don't know what to do, my wife and I will almost always set aside a few days to pray and fast. If possible, we take time in silence and solitude, or even go on a retreat to get away from the noise and distraction and hear God. But if that's not possible because of parenting or work or life circumstances, we just get up early, and the time that we would have spent eating or sleeping to digest all that food, we give to listening prayer, praying with the psalmist, "Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." This discipline of fasting and listening for God's voice is a part of the larger movement in the spiritual journey from decision-making to discernment. From what's a good and wise decision to make my life better, to what's the will of God for my life, whatever it is, which is part of an even deeper movement of the spiritual journey from control to surrender. From I am in control of my life to I am the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your word. Fasting is a discipline by which we open our body and soul to God's Spirit to facilitate these essential movements deep inside our being. But it's not just to hear God, it's also to be heard by God. Now, God hears our prayer whether we are fasting or not, but there is something about fasting that seems to amplify our prayers before God. Look again at Acts 13 if your Bible is still open. Verse 3. "So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They fasted to hear, but also to be heard." This is one of the primary reasons we fast, as God said through the prophet Isaiah, "for your voice to be heard on high," or that can be translated, "to make your voice heard in heaven." Do you ever feel stuck in prayer? Like there's a wall between you and God or God's power? Like you just can't break through that wall? As the preacher Tony Evans put it, fasting helps us to activate God's power, to break through, or as my Pentecostal brothers and sisters love to say, to pray through all that stands between you and God's plans and purposes and power for your life and world. Now, we have to be a bit careful here. Fasting is not a hunger strike to pressure God to give in to our demands. We're not Gandhi up against the British Empire. We're sons and daughters of the Father. And yet, back to that line from the prophet Jeremiah, "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." There is something about the seeking and finding that God really seems to find value in. There's a lot of mystery here. Scripture tells us what, when we add fasting to prayer, there is a higher correlation between our requests and the release of God's power. But it doesn't tell us why, at least not clearly. Different streams of the church have different theories as to why. My theory is because God is relational. His ultimate aim is to draw us into the inner life of the Trinity. Prayer with fasting takes us deeper into union with God. As we said in the last session, it burns away whatever is creating relational distance between us and God. Now, you may have a whole other take, but while there is a diverse array of theological opinions in the Church of Jesus on why some prayers are answered and others are not, one thing is very clear in Scripture: God responds to prayer and fasting. I think of the story in Jonah 3, where the city of Nineveh is warned by the prophet Jonah of its coming destruction by God. But then we read, the Ninevites believed God, a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. There's a play on words here that's lost in translation from Hebrew to English. In the closing line, the phrase turned from their evil ways and relented are the exact same word in Hebrew, naham, which means to repent or relent or change your mind. The text literally reads, when God saw they nahamed, he nahamed. What does it mean for God to naham? A word that's also translated repent. Arthur Wallace in God's Chosen Fast, our recommended reading for this practice, insightfully writes this, because man repents in respect to sin, God repents in respect to judgment. Man's change of heart makes it morally possible for God to behave differently towards him, yet acting consistently with his holy character and principles. We often mistakenly assume that God is going to do whatever God is going to do with or without our prayers. But the pattern you read of all through Scripture is that when God's people pray, and especially when they fast, he responds. Jonah is one such story, but Scripture is full of stories like it. King Jehoshaphat, Esther, the church in Antioch, and many more. All that to say, when it comes to hearing and being heard by God, not only is fasting an aid to prayer, it's an amplifier of prayer, and a powerful one at that. But remember, the end goal of prayer is not ultimately to get what we want from God, but to get God himself. It's union. It's to enter the inner life of the Trinity, to hear the Father and Son and Spirit speak their love over you, and to speak back your love in return. So, when you need to hear God, and when you need to be heard by God, practice fasting.
Have you ever prayed and God answered your prayers? Or maybe you prayed and you felt like God was being silent. I think we all have moments like that, right? Where it feels like one day God is hearing us and responding, and then other days it feels like our prayers are falling on deaf ears. And it can bring up so many questions that John Mark just talked about. Like, does God really listen? Does God naham when we naham? Do our prayers move him? But if we look at Scripture, all of Scripture echoes the fact that God hears us when we pray to him. He might not answer the way that we want, but we know that our prayers, as Scripture says, that they availeth much, that they produce much in our own lives. So we're going to end this morning with our final discussion, and you can go back into the same groups that you had, or if you want to expand your group or shrink your group, it's up to you. We're just going to take a couple minutes, and I have one question for you, and as I read it, I just want you to think about it. This is going to be maybe a little more interactive than the last one. And the question is this. If you knew God would hear your prayers and answer you, what would you pray? Now notice I didn't say answer your prayer the way you want, but if you knew that God would hear your prayers and would answer you, what would you pray for? So we're going to get into our groups. We'll keep the question on the screen for you. And I want you to do two things, if you're willing and able. Number one, I want you to consider praying out loud. This is going to be a time of discussion through prayer. And I want you to consider praying out loud, even if you're an introvert, even if this is your first time here, even if you never come back, that's okay. Like, let's do this last thing together before you leave. But no matter who you are, there is something so powerful about when we speak out loud the things that God has put inside of our hearts. There's power when we name things, when we call it out, even the really, really difficult things. So praying out loud is gonna be that first part. The second part of it is I want you to pray in short, just a few words. When it talks about prayer in scripture, it talks about the Pharisees who go on and on and on and on, right? Like, your longer prayer does not make it more powerful. Scripture talks about how, like, when we don't know what to pray, like, we use groans and the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So I want you to pray in short. Keep it simple. Keep it focused. Just like, God, I need to know that you can move in my relationship with my partner. God, I know that you can bring wholeness. Show me how. Or God, give me healing. Or God, show me how to live in your peace. A reach goal for us this morning would be that everyone prays in your group. If that's not for you, that is totally fine. But that would be the goal, is that everybody has the opportunity and the permission. And I know that this is like seemingly a risky behavior, because I'm asking you to do something out loud that maybe you don't normally do out loud. But this is where God meets us, in that space right beyond, outside of our comfort zone. If fasting is uncomfortable for you, this might be a next step, is just learning how to pray out loud, how to speak things out loud. So we're going to get into our small groups. We're going to answer just this one question out loud. What is that one thing that you want to say to God that you just, if he could hear you and would respond, this is what you would say, and this is what you would pray. I'm going to give us 4 minutes, and then I'm going to bring us back, and we're going to end with a final song. So 4 minutes, let's get back into our groups, and we'll end with a time of prayer. If you knew God would hear your prayers and would answer you, what would you pray? We're going to end this morning with this final song, and I just want to invite you all to stand if you're able. It's not too late if you didn't yet get to speak your prayers out loud during worship. I mean, I can't think of a more perfect time to make our prayers known. For me, worship has always been prayer. Every time we read these lyrics and sing, these become like prayers, like little anthems. And so as we're singing this song about gratitude, if you don't even know where to start with your prayer, sometimes the best place to start is just what you're thankful for. Just giving God gratitude for what he has given you. If you had a moment in your time of prayer, maybe you spoke something out loud, maybe during this song, try and listen. Listen for what God might be speaking to you, for what you might hear. And I'm just going to close this out in a moment of prayer. Thank you for being flexible this morning, for participating, for being such good sports. And I just pray, God, that you would speak so clearly to everybody in this room. God, I pray for just 5-year-old level Chalice Pepsi machine boldness for everybody in this room. God, just a confident faith that you hear, that you listen, and that you respond. And God, when we don't hear what we want to hear, God, help us to love you and know that you can be trusted. God, help us to know your voice louder than any other. May you continue to just speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
How could I express sing these songs, as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. So I throw my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
One final piece of homework for you, but the good news is you're going to get it done before you leave class today. So I need you to take out your phone real quick. I know we talk a lot about like text makers to do this thing or get connected, but this one is especially important. I need you to go in your phone, pull up a text message. You're going to text the number 97000, 97000. Put that number at the top, and you're going to text the word makers. Even if you follow makers and it like automatically pops up, you got to text the word makers again. If you're willing, I would like everybody to text the word makers. and you're going to select number four. Number four says, how can we pray for you? And whatever that thing was that you spoke out loud today, if you would be willing to just share it with us, we would love to be praying for you this week. We would love to follow up with you later this month. We would love to just journey with you through this life, through whatever season God has you in. We have our amazing prayer team who is here right now. So if you're like, I don't need a text message, I need to go to Nancy. Nancy's here and ready and willing to pray with you. But if you would be willing to just text in real quick, we're going to keep the music going just for like 2 minutes. Before we break, I want to give you just a second for those of you who want to text in Makers to 97000, select number four, and share your prayer request with us. We would love to be praying for you this week. If you would like prayer this morning, we'd love to see you up here at the front. In the back, we also have our Connect table. So if you're new, if you'd like to meet Kara, if you'd like to talk to somebody on our team just about next steps here at Makers, we would love to meet you as well. So thank you guys so much for being here this morning. Thank you for doing something brave and courageous and stepping outside maybe of your comfort zone a little bit. And I hope that this week, as you are going throughout your week, that you begin to hear that voice of God speaking back to you. If you're engaging in fasting, that you would just do it with the utmost clarity and conviction that this is a space that God can and will meet you in. So we love you. We hope that you have a beautiful Sunday, and we will see you next week. All right. Thank you, Makers. Bye.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.